Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God. Welcome to this month's new series. As you listen, may you be blessed and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
In God's kingdom, the greatest is the servant. And I want you to come with me quickly to the book of Mark 9, verse 33. It says, after they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? And this shows you that the disciples had normal lives, just like you and I. And that sometimes they'll just discuss stuff while Jesus is walking ahead, they're at the back there talking, you know. It was just a normal life. But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. And like I have said a couple of times, this argument hasn't left the church. We still have this thing going on in the house of God today. The Lord is helping us. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him and said, whoever wants to be first must take the last place. Hey! No, you will agree that that's not how we operate. Whoever wants to be first must fight to take the first place. You must fight to be visible. You must fight to be known. You must fight to be seen. Like, you must come forth. Your voice must be louder. You must give orders to everybody. Everybody must like to see you. When they see you, they must all come to you. Wow. But Jesus says, whoever wants to be first. How many of you want to be first? Let's be honest. We all want to be first. There's nobody. If you don't want to be first, something is wrong with you, my brother. We all have the desire to be something out there. Being first is all about winning, achieving, getting it done, coming out, being your best. Everybody wants that. But God has a different road to getting you and I there. He says, don't chase after it. Take the last place. And be the servant of everyone else. So this is not literally saying when you come to church, sit at the back. That's not what I'm saying here. Because some of you now will not take this literally. I say, no, I'm only going to take the last place. I don't want to. That's not what he's saying. He's explaining what he's saying. He says, be the servant of everyone else. Be the servant of everyone else. If you want to be first, serve. If you want to be first. If you want to become prominent, serve others. Make yourself available to help others. That's what will take you to the first position. Don't use church politics. Don't fight for church positions, church titles. Those are not the things that God considers. God says, just start serving. Just make yourself available and serve others. And as you do that, you will find yourself at the place of prominence. And when you find yourself in that place, you will not be there to boss around, you know, to try to impress everybody. You will be there to serve even better. God gives us positions not to, you know, to boost our ego. or to deal with our low self-esteem and the fact that we didn't make it well in school, and there and then now we have a chance in church to prove ourselves. Some of you that are fighting people in church, you were not good in school. Many, many areas of your life, you never did well. Now you've come to church, all of the sudden we must bow to you. We must now bow to you. I'm not saying that if you did well in school, you must do well in church. No, but I'm just saying that why is it that in school there, you didn't fight for those positions? Now that you have come to church, we must now start feeling your heat. We must not start feeling your heat here in the church. Your classmates never heard your voice before. Who am I talking to this morning? Like you were non-existent in the class. As soon as you entered ABC, now you have become something. I don't mind you becoming something in the kingdom of God. But let it be that you are becoming that thing because you are serving. You are a blessing to others. So just by this verse, Jesus says here, whoever wants to be first, and we all want to be first, but we don't all want to take the last place. That's the truth. And not all of us wants to serve everybody else. So you can therefore agree with me that it takes a change of heart for you to agree to take the last place. Because your heart is not naturally inclined for such. It takes a change of heart to start serving everyone else. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 20 verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. Do you understand? Men don't proclaim their weaknesses, they proclaim their goodness. Most men will each proclaim their own goodness. So most men are more into what they can get. They want to show you how good they are. They want to show you how great they are. Most men are selfish. That's what he's trying to tell you. And self-centered. Most men want to be first. Most men want to be served. Most men don't enjoy stooping low for anybody. That's why it takes a change of heart to become a servant. This thing that Jesus is talking about, you can't just start. That's why, even in, where you are now, you can agree with me, not so many people are serving. Ever since we started teaching in June, how many have started serving? They hear it, they clap for pastor. Good, it's a good message. But it doesn't affect them anyway. Because you see, you don't just wake up and say, no, I want to become a servant. You need a change of heart because naturally we don't like to be served. We don't like serving anybody. Naturally, we don't like taking the last place. Naturally, we don't like making ourselves available and stooping low for anybody. We don't like doing that. That's why this June, we have decided to go to the heart of the matter. Do you understand? I know that everybody wants to be first. Everybody would like to do what Jesus is saying. But the challenge is doing it the way he says we should do it. It doesn't work well for us. Because we are not used to that. So for us to meet Jesus halfway, we need to trust him to change our hearts. That's why the June series is a servant's heart. Like for you to become a servant, your heart needs to be changed. Like you need a change of heart. If your heart doesn't change, you will never be a servant. You will never be a servant. True service is a heart matter, not an action matter. True service is what? A heart matter. Not a hand matter. Because you can be moving with your hand a lot, but you're not, as far as God is concerned, you are not serving yet. He starts judging service from the heart. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. So he's talking about serving. He's talking about serving somebody. Now he says you cannot serve two masters. Now, every time we talk about this, we focus more on the fact that you cannot have two people that you are serving at the same time, isn't it? But me, I want to focus on it from the perspective of just serving what it takes to serve a person. I say, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one, love the other. So you see that hate and love both come from the heart. So service is a heart matter. It's a matter of the heart. When you are serving, all we are seeing is your action. But God is not, you see, actions don't really, I mean, when you move a chair, how does that help God? You tell me, like when you have moved a chair from here to here, you have helped your fellow man. So where is God getting the service out of it? Your heart. Your heart. Your fellow man is getting the action, but your God is getting the heart. Your heart. Now he goes on to say, you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. So a service is a reflection of devotion, and a service is also a reflection of what you despise. You don't serve who you despise. When you are serving, it means you are devoted. It means your feelings, your inner being is involved. That's why your actions are following. Anybody that struggles to serve God, you see, it's not that you are lazy. It's not that you are busy. No. Your heart hasn't come to Him. Your heart is somewhere else. That's why your actions also haven't followed through. I'm telling you right now. Service has got everything to do with the heart. I hope you are still here. So, today's message. Create in me a servant's heart. Create in me a servant's heart. It's a good prayer to pray. It's a very good prayer to pray. Because I want to be very honest with you, none of us is born with a servant's heart. The psalmist in Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a pure heart, a clean heart. Why? We are not born with these type of things. You don't buy a clean heart in a shop. Equally, you are not born with a servant's heart. No. Can I tell you what you are born with? You are born with a selfish heart. You are born with what? A selfish heart. A selfish heart. From the day you are born, you want things for yourself. Look at you as a baby. You are fighting for the bread. You are holding it by yourself. You don't want to share anything with anybody. You give you a lollipop. You hold. You must see how a child, the strength of a child will appear when you give him a lollipop. He is holding on to that thing like it is life and death. Very rarely do you see children sharing too much. No. They ask. They beg. Yeah. as soon as it lands, So we are not born with hearts to serve others. We are born with hearts to serve ourselves, to care for ourselves. Create in me a servant's heart. A servant's heart. A servant's heart. A heart that is like the heart of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you pray that prayer in a few seconds? Just, Father, create in me a servant's heart. I agree with you, Lord. My heart is not a heart of a servant yet. My heart is to serve me. My heart is even serving money, serving other things, serving things, not serving the living God. Creating me a servant's heart today, Lord. Give me the right heart, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Please, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Three things you should know about the heart of a man. Three things you need to know. They are all found in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 1. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart. So three things you should know about your heart. I'm not talking about cardiovascular problems here. I'm not talking about your heart beating. I'm not talking about love, like, you know, who has stolen your heart. Look, I'm not talking about those things. Get away with those things out of your mind right now. We are talking here about a very important thing. I'm telling you. As nicely dressed as you are, as Holy Ghost filled as you are, let me introduce you to your heart. Based on scripture. The Bible says the heart is deceitful. That's the first thing you should know about your heart. Is that your heart can deceive. And your heart can deceive even yourself. What does that mean? There's a lot of deception in your heart. Deceiving means that you make something to look what it is not. You make something to appear what it is not. When you are deceiving a person, you know that the thing is red, but you have put a fake color on top that looks like it is white. So the person looks at the thing and the thing is white. Meanwhile, the thing is red behind. So the heart is deceptive. Usually, what we give is not what is. It's possible to be carrying chairs around, but your heart is not in it at all. At all. It's possible to go around and do visitation, but your heart is not in it at all. It's possible to even be conducting a center service. Meanwhile, everything in you doesn't want it. You want to watch TV. You want to relax. Ooh, the heart is deceptive. Proverbs 23 verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the part we all know. Let's go to the B part. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Say with me, deception. Is that, you know, eat and drink. Meanwhile, his heart is not okay with the food you are eating and the beer you are, I mean, not the beer, the whatever you are drinking. He's not enjoying, He's not enjoying you using his money. Let's go quickly. Number two, their heart is wicked. This is the heart that must save. This is the heart that. I mean, understand our problem. Their heart is full of deception and lies. And then their heart is full of wickedness. Jeremiah 17 verse 11. The same verse, but in another version, NLT. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. The most, I mean, apart from the devil, the human heart comes second. After the devil, the human heart is number two. So that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things you have ever come across. Hey! You know, there's a program I came across during the last week. Actually, when I was in my sick bed, I came across so many things that I didn't know existed in this South Africa. I came across a program where there's this guy goes around. If he found two lovers, he says to them that he introduces himself. He said he wants them to exchange phones to do a loyalty test to know if. I almost died on my bed. A level of deception. There's one that just finished me. And this guy called himself Snow White. He's with the girlfriend. I tell you, when they started, when he took the phone of the girlfriend, he almost killed the girl. That you would think that this guy is so faithful, like he's feeling so hurt. He's feeling so hurt that this girl did this to him. Oh! Now they said, okay, it's your turn to give. He said, No. We have a program. I have to go. I've got an appointment. I said, No, have an appointment. You know, the guy started fighting everybody until they needed to lift him up. Then he refused to open the phone. The man who almost killed the lady now, he cannot give himself. He's got appointments, this and this and that. Now he doesn't want to open the phone with the password. Finally, he opened the phone. As soon as he opened the phone, he said, you know, baby, you know, everything you are seeing there is not real. There's nothing. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. It's not real. It's not real. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. A man can be looking at you. He doesn't love you. He said to you, baby, you are my moon. You are everything to me. He doesn't. Look, he doesn't love. In fact, as he's talking to you, he's thinking about another person. You should be afraid. Even the devil respect us. We don't joke with human beings. Snow White. Ask your neighbor, are you Snow White? Are you Snow White? I'm telling you. Yo. It's not easy. It's not easy, I tell you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now it says here, the human heart. Are you with me?
Yes.
We're talking about your heart. Are you a human being? If you are a human being, this verse is addressing all of us, including you and me. The pastors, the deacons, the shepherds, the shepherdesses. Ah, everybody is involved. If you are a human being, you have a human heart. Not only the snake has a deceitful heart. We also have deceitful hearts here. And so it is desperately wicked. Desperate. Like, you know when you are desperate for something? Oh my God. You are desperate. You are desperate to do wickedness. Oh my God. You see, you understand why we struggle to be servants. You understand why we struggle to help anybody in this world. Our hearts are the problem. Our hearts. It's a heart matter. We are desperately wicked. Yeah. I said, people are desperate to be rich. Animals are desperate to eat. They are desperate to find grass. Human beings are desperate for wickedness. That when they wake up in the morning, they just want to be wicked. Yeah. Yeah. Eh? Are you catching this thing? So they said the first thing is that the human, our hearts are deceitful. Then our hearts are wicked. Number three, he says, who really knows how bad it is? Or the other version says that who can understand it? Who can know it? So the third thing is the heart of a man is not easy to know. And it is not easy to understand. It's not easy to understand who you are dealing with. I'm telling you, you see that thing of exchanging phone. I mean, the guy they are walking, they are so happy. by the time that meeting is over, they want to kill each other. Who can know the human heart? Somebody can be with you in the house. You have no idea whom you are dealing with. I said somebody can be sitting with you now, right now in the church. You have no idea who is sitting next to you in the church. You have no idea who human beings are. Human beings. Yo. Who can know the heart of a man? Even God doesn't know the heart of a man naturally. Yes. Even God himself. Listen to Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. God says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what is in your heart, in order to know. Like God himself has to take you through the wilderness in order for him to know what is inside of you. It's not easy. God has to take you through things that even himself, he asked Michael, what's going on? He said, Michael, I don't know. He said, let's take him through some challenges. They will know what is inside. Yeah. You can know your heart. Even after salvation, your heart doesn't change immediately. Yeah, it doesn't change immediately. It takes a whole process before God can really, and that first step you saw there. So usually for God to work on your heart, I mean, I could actually correct myself here to say, it's not like really God doesn't know what is in your heart. God knows everything and God knows what is in your heart, but you usually don't know what is in your heart. So what God will do is that God will take you through things, and by the time you are done, you will discover yourself who you are. That God always knew that about you. God always knew that the Israel, in fact, he said that he didn't want to take them by the road of the Philistines, even though it was shorter. He took them to the wilderness because he knew that there is complaints and all kinds of evil in their heart. So he wanted to purify them first. Yeah. And sometimes that is why the journey of some of us is a bit longer. Because God knows what is in the heart. Sometimes the promotion of some of us is a bit longer. Because God knows what is in the heart. And God is not keeping things away from you, my brother. God is keeping things for you. Because if he releases them now, your heart, your wicked heart, your deceitful heart, your unknown heart will spoil everything. So God wants to first help you, heal you, restore you, change your heart. And after he has changed your heart, then he brings the staff. I want to thank God this morning for not answering some of my prayers. I want to thank God this morning for not opening some of the doors I wanted him to open a few years ago. Because I was deceived into thinking I'm ready. I want to thank God that it only happened when he thought I'm ready, not when I thought I was ready. And that's how you should pray. Yeah. Lord, bring it when you know I'm ready, not when I think I'm ready. Because your heart can deceive you. It is called self-deception. Hallelujah. Now, when it comes to serving, your heart matters much to God, like I said earlier, than your actions. That's why God zero his focus on your heart, not what you do. He looks at your heart, not what everybody says. 1 Samuel 16 verse 10. We all know this scripture. It's a very popular scripture in the body of Christ. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. All these are things that we use. Your appearance, how you come across. Your height, your position. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. The heart. I'm talking about the servant's heart. And I'm saying, Lord, create in me a servant's heart. Because that's what God looks at. You see, you are focusing on the outward appearance. You are focusing. God doesn't look much at that. I'm not saying those actions are not important. They benefit your fellow men. But what benefits God is your disposition of your heart. It's the attitude of your heart while doing the thing you are doing. That's where he takes glory. Which means you can do it and God is not blessed by it. Oh. For example, you can show honor and God doesn't feel you have honored him. The Bible says in Matthew 15 verse 8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So you see, the thing that matters to God is your heart, your motivation, why you are doing what you are doing, rather than just the thing you are doing itself. You could be coming to church simply because you are jobless, simply because you don't have anything to do, but not because you love God. It's a different story when God has elevated you and God has given you everything and you are still coming to church. You could be serving in the house of God because you are trusting God for something, for a breakthrough. Like, the reason why you are serving is because you are trusting God for a breakthrough. Not because you really care about God and you love God and you want to serve and honor him. Like, there's something you are after. Your motive. The reason behind your action is what God cares about more than the action itself. And that's why sometimes you can even commit a sin and people crucify you. Meanwhile, God doesn't crucify you at all. You have the story of the woman with the issue. I mean, the woman that was found in the very act of adultery. And Jesus rather forgave her and let her go. Is God condoning sin? No. God knows something about the person that you don't know about. So sometimes you look like you didn't do something, and people will applaud you, and God doesn't feel impressed. And another person does something, and people despise the person, yet God loves the person. Haven't you noticed that sometimes you ask yourself, why is God liking this guy? Like based on what I know about this guy, God is not supposed to bless this guy. God knows things that you don't know. God didn't call David a man after his actions. Huh? A man after what? His own heart. David knew how to connect to the heart of God. David knew how to pull the heart of God in a situation. That's a true servant. A servant God is going to bless. A servant God is going to promote. A servant God is going to open doors for. It's a servant who focuses on what matters to God. Another example, forgiveness. Do you know you can forgive people with your mouth? Meanwhile, you didn't forgive the people. It's possible. It's possible to say you have forgiven your husband. Meanwhile, you didn't forgive him. You've forgiven your wife. You didn't forgive them. You've forgiven your child. You didn't forgive. He says in Matthew 18, verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So forgiveness is not just to say, I forgive you. Forgiveness that God honors, forgiveness that God recognizes is forgiveness from where? From the heart. And nobody knows your heart, you see. Only God knows your heart. I guess one of the signs that you haven't really forgiven is that you are still hot when you see the person. As soon as you see the person, you start forgetting your phone number. You start forgetting things. You start changing your mind. You lose your mind for a few seconds. When you see their picture, you just something happens to you. You haven't forgiven this person. I know you are singing in the choir. I know you are praying 4 hours. I understand you are helping with the music. I understand you are preaching. But you haven't forgiven from your heart. You haven't forgiven from your heart. And this is not to condemn you this morning. It's just to help you assess yourself properly. And say, Lord, you know what? I think I can do better. I can do better. Help me forgive so and so from my heart. I have forgiven them from my head. I have even forgiven them from my mouth. I mean, like, I have taken steps. I've even restituted some of the stuff. But my heart is still paining when I see them. When I see their name, when I hear about them, my heart is still paining me. Father, help me forgive this person from my heart. That's true forgiveness. And so it is with serving. What is true with honoring, with forgiving, it is equally true with serving. Serving too must come from your heart. Not out of duty. Out of love for God. John 21 verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me? More than this. He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Okay. Feed my lambs. So you see, service is a heart matter. It's because I love him that I'm feeding the lambs, not because I must feed the lamb. It's because I love Jesus that I'm going on visitation, not because I must fill my reports. It's because I love Jesus that I'm cleaning the church, not because I don't want pastor to get angry at me. I don't want shepherd to get angry at me. No, when the motivation is fear, when the motivation is this and that, then you are not getting anything out of that thing. The motivation must be, I love Jesus. Like what I'm doing here, I'm doing it because of my love for Jesus. It's the reason why I'm tithing. It's the reason why I'm serving. It's the reason why I come for prayer. You see, that's the problem. The reason why a lot of us are still struggling to serve is because we don't love Jesus. We don't love him. We love other things. So we are serving those things. Yeah. When you really start loving Jesus, it will be easy for you to do just about anything for him. You know, it is easy to do something for somebody for a few days. Do you understand? Even if it's not out of love, maybe to just to help. But to do it for a long time, there must be a bigger motivation. And the greatest motivation that can make you to do something for another person, like you are not doing it for yourself. He's not saying feed the lambs. He said feed my lamb. Like the lamb do not belong to you. Yet you have to feed them. Do you know how difficult it is to feed lambs? And to feed them every day for many, many years. And they are not yours. Like, it's not like these are my lambs. I mean, I know I'm doing it for myself. It's going to benefit me someday. That's how true it is. To take care of new converts that belong to Jesus and not to you. That's why we don't take care of them. Because for you to really take care of them, you must have love for Jesus. And your love for Jesus is what will make you to call these new converts. When you call and it is a voicemail, you don't just say, hey, wrong number. You move to the next. If it was your beloved, are you going to say a wrong number and leave it? I'm asking you a personal question. If this was your doctor, the doctor that is supposed to operate on your mother, and you call, it was a wrong number, you are going to say, no, it was a wrong number, so I left it. No, you are going to chase more to know exactly, well, how can I get hold of this person? Because it benefits you directly. Now, these other things that do not benefit you directly, but that benefit Jesus directly. You see how we do them with negligence. I shouldn't say these things in the church. Amen. Our hearts are changing in the name of Jesus. So when we say that you have a servant's heart, or to serve from your heart, means it's to serve God and others out of love, not out of duty. Out of love for Jesus, not out of duty or out of fear of your pastor. Number two is to serve God and others without complaining. Without complaining. A lot of work is done in the church with a lot of complaints. A lot of complaints, a lot of murmuring, a lot of grumbling. The Bible says in the book of Philippians 2 verse 14, do everything without complaining. Without complaining. Without complaining. Do everything without complaining. Come and see us. The attitude is sour. You know what is a complaint? Like you're having a disgruntled attitude, eh? You are discontented, like you are not happy. You are doing something, but you are not happy about what you are doing. Yeah. There's a part of you that is not enjoying this thing that you are doing. Uh-oh. A servant's heart will do it for God and for others without complaining. Father, give us grace today and deliver us from this complaining mentality that has destroyed our service. We are still serving, but it's not scoring in heaven. Simply because it is done out of complaints and murmuring and grumbling and a bad attitude. A bad attitude. Father, deliver us from these complaints. We complain about one another. We complain about the leader of the department. We complain about the shepherd. We complain about the shepherdess. We complain about the pastor. We complain even though we are doing it, but their heart is no more right. The heart is no more right. You find in the Bible, the children of Israel had to complain so much about God. They complain about the servant of God Moses. They complain about the servant of God Aaron. They complain about so many things. They complain about issues. I mean, where can you go in this world and there are no issues? Where? Which company will you work for and there are no issues? You need to know something. God hates complaints. Yeah. He hates complaints. And you, if you read the book of Exodus, you realize that God killed the Israelites more than the Egyptians killed them. And the reason God kept killing them, they kept complaining. They kept complaining. And the more they complained is the longer they stayed in the wilderness. The more they complained is the longer they stayed in the wilderness. Miriam complained against Moses in Hebrews 11. I mean, in Numbers 11. Numbers 22, she died. So many things happened and Miriam never saw those things. Because complaint killed her. Do you know how many people have died spiritually? Died ministerially? They've died. The anointing has been dried up out of their lives. When they speak, there is no more love. There's no more grace. The virtue has left them because they have killed it with their complaints. Some even complain against God. Hey, I've been in this church for almost 6 years now. Nothing has changed in my life. I've been tithing and nothing has changed in my life. You see, that heart itself is the reason why God is not blessing you. Because the Bible says in the book of Job 1 verse 22, in all of this, in the book of Job 1:22, in all of these, Job did not sin by blaming God. Yet if you and I, as we are reading the thing, we know that God authorized a lot of those things. Or you didn't read the Bible. That God is the one who told the devil, go and do this, go and do this. But the Bible says, in all of these things, Job did not sin by blaming God. Father, give us grace. Father, give us grace to stop blaming you instead of trusting you. To stop blaming you instead of talking to you in prayer. Deliver us from these things. In the name of Jesus. Number three, to serve from your heart is to serve God without arguing. Without arguing. Who am I talking to this morning? Without complaining, without arguing. Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining and arguing. Without arguing. Arguments. This is where there's tension among us workers. There's tension, there's strife among us. We are working, but we are not working in unity. We are working, but we're not working as one mind, one heart. There's a lot of arguments. No, the chairs must go like this. No, the chair must go like this. No, it must do like this. No, it must be like this. No, it must be like this. No. I know. You didn't hear Shepherd. Well, Shepherd said this. No, it wasn't. And guess what? At the end of the day, nothing gets done, eh? Nothing gets done. Yeah. Nothing gets done. Philippians 4:2-3. The Bible says, now I appeal to Yudia and Sentishi. Please, because you belong to the Lord, tell the person next to you, because you belong to the Lord. Tell the other person, because you belong to the Lord. He says, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Settle your disagreement. Why? Not because you are right. Not because she's wrong. Because you belong to the Lord. Settle your disagreement. You are part of the same body. Imagine the finger fighting the leg. Imagine the ear fighting the nose. Because you belong to the same body. Find a way to settle this disagreement. I'm talking to the members of ABC right now. Because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. There are people in the church now that you don't talk to. You've stopped talking to them because you got offended by something. You know, he goes on to say something very profound. Listen to him. He says, and I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women. For they worked hard with me in telling others about the good news. He said, these two women, Yudia and Sentechi, they worked hard with Paul to preach the gospel. They worked hard, but now both of them are in disagreement. This disagreement is about to destroy their good service. This disagreement is about to make them lose point in the realm of the spirit. This disagreement. Settle your disagreement. Number four, serving God from your heart. It is to serve God and others without competing. Number one, out of love, not out of duty. Number two, without complaining. Number three, without arguing. Number four, without competing. This is the heart of a servant. The heart of a servant is not into competition. Into arguments. There are especially, I'm not saying that brothers don't argue, but you see here, it's two women that are arguing here. Oh. In the church, like a spider web. It's a spider web. This is a spider web all over the church. A small church. Oh. We are not even 50 people, but come and find more than 50 arguments in the church. No competition. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Lord, deliver us from unhealthy competition. Deliver us from unhealthy comparisons. Always comparing ourselves. This shepherd compares with this shepherd. This shepherdess compares with this shepherdess. This leader compares with this leader. And they say, you say, no, I did better than her today. I did better than him last week. This and this. You know what that means? It means if they can do better than you, you turn into a witch now. You start fighting them. Yeah. You start fighting them. You know what it means? It means you can never celebrate others in the church. You know what it means? It means you can never serve them. You know what it means? It means you can never take the last place and let them take the first place. Anyone you are competing with, anyone you are arguing with, anyone you are complaining about, you will never serve. You can't serve. The heart is already spoiled. And there's a good example in the Bible that classifies this. 3 John 1 to 10, 9 to 10. I wrote to the church. This is John speaking. Says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes. This is a name you should never forget. Diotrephes. This guy. He says, but Diotrephes loves to be first. Diotrephes loves to be first. And Jesus told us, whoever wants to be first must take the last place. But Diotrephes, no. I want to be first by being first. Diotrephes will not welcome us. That's why he doesn't welcome other people. Rude. We have such in the church. They don't greet anybody. They don't welcome anybody. You are not a good servant. You are made to be an usher that is always, you are making people angry, always you are chasing people away. People come and they don't come back because of the usher's behavior. They don't welcome us. They are trophies, ushers. They don't welcome the people. They never smile. They are not welcoming. They are trophy shepherds. They are not welcoming. They are boss. They are trophy shepherdesses. They have their own clique. They don't talk to this one. They only talk to these ones. Mercy. Their trophies didn't welcome us. Hey, may you not be a trophies in the branch where you are. That you don't welcome the people to the church. May you be a welcomer, a greeter. That when people come across you, they want to come back to the church. They love the church simply because of the way you welcome them. The way you welcome them. He goes on to say, so when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing. So John says, when I get to you people, I will expose the atrophies. The things that the atrophies is doing, he says, how he is spreading malicious nonsense about us. Malicious nonsense. Tell your neighbor, stop the nonsense. Stop the nonsense in the church. You are destroying the work. Malicious nonsense. What is this? Gossips. Evil reports. Mercy. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. So the atrophies doesn't welcome leaders. He doesn't welcome other believers. He goes around gossiping. Look at one person, what the person is doing in the church. He also stops those who want to do so. Meaning those who want to welcome other believers, he stops them from doing it. But he doesn't just stop. He doesn't welcome leaders. He gossips and says evil about leaders. And he doesn't welcome other believers. And when other believers want to welcome those believers, he stops them. Then he now goes a step further. He says he puts them out of the church. Oh my God. Deliver us. Look, I want to ask you a personal question. Are there people that have left the church because you put them out of the church? You put them out by the gossips, lack of welcoming, rudeness, bad behavior. No, that is not your portion. You are not an eraser. You are a welcomer. Amen. Let me give you this one quickly. When you are serving God from your heart, you serve God and others without trying to impress. Philippians 2:3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than you yourself. Matthew 23 verse 5. Everything they do, meaning these people pleasers, the Pharisees, everything they do is done to for people to see. It's done for people to see. Is that how you are serving where you are? That people should see you? Pastor must see you? So when pastor is not there to see you, you don't do anything. Anything that is done for people to see, when there is nobody to see, will not be done. You pray for people to see. So when there's nobody to see, you don't pray. You read the Bible for people to see. When nobody, you don't read. It is called eye service. You are serving because there's an eyewitness. We are being delivered from such in the name of Jesus. Serving from your heart is to serve God and others in all purity. In all purity. Ay, 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 ay. 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Church, are you learning this thing? Don't talk to an older person as if he was your chummy. As if he was your father. Treat younger men as your brothers. Older women as your mothers. Younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Absolute purity. absolute purity. How many times people have used service to sleep with women in the church? How many times people have used service to sleep around? That the reason you are in bed now with this sister is because she was impressed by how you were singing.
I shouldn't say.
Huh? Like we are using service to satisfy our lust, our lust. Service is being used to lure and to seduce.
You people are too calm now. You are excited earlier now. All of a sudden, we are now very, very, very calm.
All purity. You cannot serve from your heart, and yet you are serving out of lust.
Yeah, now I want that brother to see me. I want that brother to see my bum. I want that brother to see my ties.
You are serving in the church, and you are serving for people to see your ties. You are serving for people to see your boobs. You are serving for people to see this and that. Who are you serving? Who are you serving with all these things? Sisters today dress like worldly girls. They come with tight stuff. Who must see these things that you are coming with? Who must see those things? Isn't it the brothers? The little brother that was just saved last week. That you are now coming to disturb. You are disturbing the brothers. But you are wearing it in the name of I'm serving. These are the colors they say we must wear. Things are tied. They are tied on you. Yeah, they are tied. That is tied. But you are serving. You are serving.
You are not serving God. You are not serving God.
He says, absolute, say with me, absolute purity, absolute purity. You see, when you and I dress up, it must also pass the purity test. Let's take a purity test with your dressing, especially those of you that are serving in the house of God. Actually, all of us are servants in the house of God. We are both kings and priests. It must show.
Lastly, when you are serving God from your heart, serve God and others not for what you're getting out of it, but because you are willing, not what you are getting out of it. 1 Peter 5:2.
Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. That's Peter advising us now. He says, not for what you are getting out of it. What are you getting out of what you are doing for God?
You must have noticed in our church, we don't have musicians yet. Because we stopped that nonsense that musicians are coming for money. After the service, pay them. Are you doing it for money? Are you doing it for position? Are you doing it to score? No, he says, do it because you are serving God. Not because of what you are getting out of it. Hallelujah. So, as we close, I just want to remind you of our prayer. Create in me a servant's heart. What is a servant's heart? Well, those 7 points I have given you, let's go through them quickly again. Number one, a servant's heart does things out of love, not out of duty. A servant's heart does things without complaining. A servant's heart does things without arguing. A servant's heart does things without competing with others. Say amen. A servant's heart does things without trying to impress others. A servant's heart does things out of absolute purity. And lastly, a servant's heart does things not because of what you are getting out of it, but because you are just serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus.
I believe this message is blessing your heart this morning. Create in me a servant's heart.
Hallelujah. Well, this is how you're going to create, God is going to create a servant's heart in your heart. First step, Proverbs 23 verse 26. He says, my son, give me your heart. Meaning your current heart. He says, my son, give me your heart. Then the second and last step, Ezekiel 36 verse 26. I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What a promise. But the Lord says, before he can give you this new heart, he says, my son, give me your heart. Can we be on our feet this morning, please? I believe that we all want to give the Lord our heart. There's a song we usually sing that says, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. I pray that that will be your prayer. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul. Can you pray that prayer right now? Lord, I give you. Because it says, Lord, he said, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. So he said, Lord, I give you my heart. Come on, give him your heart this morning. Give you my heart, Lord. Give you everything. Everything that I have. Everything. Everything. We give it to you. We give it to you right now, Lord. Give you our heart, Jesus. Give you our hearts. Give you our souls. We give you our spirits. We give you, Lord, our shortcomings, our deception, deceptiveness, our wickedness. We give you everything, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Come and surrender your heart right now. Surrender your heart to Christ. Surrender your heart to God. He can do something about your heart. He can take away the complaining nature, the arguing nature, the competing nature. Can take away the lust and the sexual immorality that is in us. And it can give us a new heart. A new heart. A new heart. A new heart. It can become your portion today. Lord, I give you my heart and I receive a new heart. Father, take the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Now, I want to pray for you quickly. If you are saying, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Christ. I want to open my heart to Jesus today. I want to surrender to Him. I want Him to come and become my Lord and my Savior. I'd like to pray with you. I'm going to count up to three. All you need to do is to raise your right hand. Say, Pastor, pray with me. This word is for me. I need a change of heart. I've been selfish. I've been self-centered. Change me, Lord. Change my heart. One, two, three. Please raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. I'm saying, Pastor, I want God to change my heart. God bless you. Now, you are also watching right now and you are already born again, but at this stage, you can say for yourself, the enemy has infiltrated your heart. With offense, with jealousy, with complaining, with gossip, a lot of things. Lord, I want you to commit myself. I want Jesus to rule over me, to take full control. I want you to commit my heart to Christ. If that is you, I want to pray with you as well. At the count of three, Pastor, I want you to commit my life to Jesus. I want to pray with you. When you hear the voice of God, it's your opportunity. It's your moment. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. When you hear three, just raise your right hand. Pastor will pray with you. One, two, three. I want you to commit. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now we're going to pray together. And I want you to mean every word you say. The presence of God is here. Say with me, Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, for saving me. From today, I ask you, Lord, create in me the heart of a servant. Take away the heart of selfishness, the heart of wickedness, the heart of deceit. Give me a new heart, Lord. A heart of flesh, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I give you praise for doing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.